We're holding on for Fowler from McVeigh's five lines from the bottom. The most is Gufa, getting back to something that we learned before. If the kiyo does not have enough water in it for four koinim to wash their hands and feet from, then you can't be Makadish with that. Shenema, as the apostle says, Moshe and Aaron and his sons should wash with it. And as we talked about the other day, the most poshut understanding is that we mean Moshe and Aaron and Elazar and Isamar equals four.
You said you'll.
So there's something from the Sikha about that, but ever talks about in Chelik Vav. So, Mephoshim asked, as we talked about the other day, I mean, the fact is Moshe and Aaron and his sons were not all being overed at the same time. When Moshe did the Avodah, the first 7 days of the Miluim, Aaron and his sons weren't yet. And when they started on Yom Shmini, then Moshe was not. So the Rebbe discusses the point. You know, you have another thing as far as the Kiyo as well. All the other Kalim are made in Parshas Oda, are described, the making of them is described in Parshas Truma, not the actual making of them. The Tzivui to make them is in Parshas Truma or Tetzava. Only this one is in Kisiv. So the point is, in other words, the Kiyo is really, it's a hachana to the other ones. You need Kiddush Adam Red Line to do the Avodah, as we've been learning the last couple of days. So It's a different getter of a kli shoreis. And in the same way, Moshe's avodah is more of a hachana. He's not going to be the kohen forever after all. He's only doing it during the shiva simam miluim. So in that sense, therefore, so his avodah is a necessary prerequisite for Aaron of Ovonov to be able to do it. And therefore that's the connection between them. And then it goes on to talk about that. On the other hand, you know, we have the kiyah was made from the maris at Tzovos, and it just says chavivin alayman akol, it's the most precious taka, because in the same way you have the mirrors that they used. Well, also, that was a hachana for the growth of the Jewish people in the Midbar. So therefore, so it all connects. In other words, the Kiyah and Moshe and the Maris HaTzovos is all the idea of hachana for something, but that hachana itself is very important in itself, and therefore we're saying that
the kiyah itself is not an avoda,
it's a hachana. I mean, it's, to a certain extent, it's an avoda. That's what we're saying. It had to be done standing, and it had to be done in the Azara, and so forth, but it's not, it's a kind of avoda which is more prerequisite, it's more of a hachana to the other ones, as opposed to the other avodas are something in and of themselves.
Moshe Rabbeinu, as a kohen, has a special connection,
to that idea of hachana, right? Yeah, it's sicha in chelik vav, focuses.
And that's why they're mentioned.
That's why we have Moshe.
Even though they weren't together,
They
are together. It's like,
right. Okay. Right. When we say, by the way, that kol kiyo she'en bo kedel kadosh avar koinim imenu, do we mean, in other words, that it has to be when they start, when the four koinim start, there has to be enough water in there for four, but then the first one's going to do kiddush adam red line, and then you have less than that, and that's fine, as long as you started with, or does it mean that all the time it has to have enough for four? It's a machlokas we're showing him about that. In addition, does it mean, for example, does it refer to the size of the keli? Rashi is learning, for example, that it means the size of the keli has to be at least enough to have enough water for four koinim.
But he's also talking about. It would have to be a larger.
No, but the point is, in other words, let's say you had a kiyo which has enough water, which could hold enough water for 100 koyanim, but right now it has only enough for four, so that would be fine. But if, let's say, you had, for example, a keli, so if you had a keli that was too small to hold enough water for four koyanim to be mekadesh from, you can't be mekadesh from such a keli, according to that way of looking at it. So the Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction, though. Braisa says, kol ha-kelim mekadeshin. All kalim are mekadesh, meaning Rashi explains that now you're able, that now it's mekadesh the water, so that you can use it for kiddush adam b'raglayim. So ben sheyesh ben revius, ben shein ben revius, whether the kali contains a revius or not. As long as it's a flea shortest. So we see you don't need, so even less than revius is kosher, even though that's not even enough for netilas sedayim. It's certainly not enough for being mekadesh yod v'ragla for four people.
What is the shear for?
So until the Yadayim, the shear is a revius. However, Tosfos points out, based on Mishnayos and Masechta Yadayim, that once you have a revius, you could have two people could pour from it and do valid until the Yadayim. Rishonim discussed, does it mean one app? Does it mean that one uses the revius and the other one uses the leftovers of it? Or does it mean like they put their hands one below the other and one in, and Reuven is pouring on his hands and then drips down from his hands onto Shimon's? So that a revius is enough for that. But here we're saying, even if it doesn't contain a revius, then it's still good enough. So the answer is Amar of Adabaacha, the Kadeach B'Soichel. Because what the Braise is talking about is where you drill into him. So Rashi explains, let's say you drill into the side of the keir and you stick in a little keli. So now like it's taking in, it's like sucking up water from the keir. It's like a straw, for example. That's then giving it out. So if you have a keli by itself and you need enough for four koinim, but here kadeach mitosai, you're sticking in a keli over there and you're using it as like a makeshift spout for the keir, then that's fine because it's attached to the keir basically. That's point of Rashi.
Why does it need to be mekadesh? It's like a.
So we're saying, you know,
it's a hemshach from the keir.
It's a hemshach from the keir. So therefore,
right.
So that's the point. In other words, you're sticking it into a hole in the side of the keir. That's how Rashi turns. Tosfos says that actually what it means is that even if you dipped a small keli into the keir and took out that keli and now you're going to be in the kaddish with it, that would be fine because it came from a kli gadol.
So we understand from this,
the vote is you want to use the keir itself. It's got to have enough for four koinim in it. But if you took water from the keir and put it into a smaller keli, then you can be mekadesh from it even if it's smaller than that.
But we understand from this that regarding the question you asked at first, does what happens after the first one?
It has to start off with four.
So but later,
that's the thing. Rashi and Tosfos are learning that it's enough that it starts out.
Starts out with four, right?
The Rambam seems to say that there always needs to be that amount. The Sfasemis points out the Diyuk in the Rambam that it comes out from it. The Rambam would understand that it means there always has to be enough for four koyanim in there. But then other achronim say maybe not necessarily, maybe even the Rambam would agree that once one was Makadish, then fine.
You have to learn these things a little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Vahomi menu Amar Achmana. Doesn't the Pasuk say you have to be Makadish from it, which Lechora. So the question is really, Rashi explains, we said before that you could use any three shoris. Why? The Pasuk says you have to dafka be mekadesh mimenu. So that means only from the keir. The answer is yuchatsu l'rabis three shoris, because the Pasuk says that Pasuk adds the word yuchatsu, and in fact it says it twice in the psukim. So therefore, we could recover some of the element of and before it says v'roch to mimenu moshav aron avonav. So it teaches us the labas klei shoris. So it comes to teach us that a klei shoris is also valid for it. The question is, yehoki klei koil nami? Well, in that case, then why limit it to a klei shoris? Maybe even you could do it with a klei koil. And the answer is, I'm going to buy a klei koil and mofas amrit the kavachomer mikanoi. You can show that you can't use a klei koil because you can make a kavachomer from the base of the keir. We know that the keir had a base, whilst this is a keir nechoshes, the chanoi nechoshes. Tosfos describes two possibilities. One is that the kanoi was made like an open box. It was shaped like a box with the top open, and then the keir sat on top of it. So here the Gemara is going to be talking about, then it would be possible to put water inside it, because it's got a bottom after all. The other possibility, Tosfos swings from Rabbeinu, which on the face of it means Rashi, although I don't think we find it in Rashi on the Chumash, is that it was the other way around. It looked like an upside down top. So the top of it face down, So according to that, then it didn't have a bottom. So then the question is, how are you putting water inside it? So one possibility Mephoshim bring up is, in that case, it means if you were to turn around, if you were to turn the keir upside down and use that, like you have some of these kiddush cups, like you have a kiddush cup of a stem.
How did it work with the mukhni? The kanai also?
The kanai, the pashtos also was lowered down with the mukhni. Yeah. Incidentally, by the way, when we were talking about the mukhni yesterday, so yeah, the Rambam does mention in Pirush Mishnayos and also in one place in the Abba Chazaka, he mentions this idea that the mukhni, like I was telling you the other day, is a tank and they would refill the keir from it whenever they needed to, but in a different place, Saki, he refers to lowering it based on the Gemara that we learned yesterday. So as Mashma, maybe the Rambam says that the mukhni had, maybe it had more than one part, maybe it had a reservoir, as well as they would lower it down into a pit. The Kesef Mishnah points that out on the Rambam. So you can make a kavachomer, says Abaya, from the kanoi, from the base of the keir. So again, the point is, either according to Tosfos's first explanation, the canoe had a bottom, so therefore you could conceivably put water in it, and yet we're going to learn that you can't use that for Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. The other possibility, it was upside down pot, in which case, how could you possibly use water in it would be if you turn the kiyo upside down, I'll bet like you have these stemmed Kiddush cups that have a bottom over there you could turn them over and you could put liquid inside the hollow bottom over there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kavachomer is, the base which was nimshach together with it, because the pasuk says umashachta, Hashem gives them a whole list of things to anoint, and one of them is akir ves kanei, and yet ainim mekadesh, and it's not mekadesh water to use for kiddush adayim raglayim klichel sheainim nimshachim. So then a non klichodus which was not anointed and ain't a din sheainim mekadesh, how much more so that it can't be mekadesh. All right, the Gemara says v'chanoi menolon taka, where do you know that the kanoi cannot be used for kiddush? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yochu Yeh Kanoi Mekadesh Kederach Shakiyo Mekadesh. You would think that you could use the Kanoi and it would be valid to put water inside it and use it for Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the same as the Kiyo itself. No, Tamar Blayma, Va'osisa Kiyo Nechoshes V'Kanoi Nechoshes. The Pasuk says you should make the Kiyo out of copper and the base out of copper. Now, why does it have to, in other words, the point is, why does it have to say, as a Kiyo Nechoshes V'Kanoi Nechoshes? It could have just said, Kiyo V'Kanoi Nechoshes. The fact that it repeats means the Nechoshes Ikashtiv V'Loi L'Dava Acher. The only comparison is that they're both made out of copper, but nothing else. So therefore, so the dinim of the kiyor do not apply to the kanoi, and therefore you can't use it for kiddush adayim raglayim. Okay, the Gemara says that
is the kanoi considered a klishodus, or
that's what I'm saying.
Only
it is
like gzeiras hakosuf that it's not mekadesh yet mayim because it has to be different than the kiyor.
I mean, in general, we say in Menachos, there's a din that clay shoris are mekadesh only haroi lahem. Whatever's suitable for a particular kind of clay shoris, then that clay shoris is mekadesh. Sometimes you have a little wiggle room. For example, right. The Gemara talks about, for example,
even though they're not made for water, actually.
No, but the point is, for example, like the Gemara discusses in Menachos, I think that, for example, if you put the koymets of a mincha on the shulchan, then it would be mekadesh. It, at least to the extent that now it has conditions like roof, because the shulchan at least is used for the lachan aponim, which is a type of mincha. Mm-hmm. But for example, if you have a klei halach and mekadeshin as a yovish, klei yovish and mekadeshin as a lach. If you have a keli that's meant for liquids, then it's not mekadesh dry things and vice versa.
And when it says here kol hakeli mekadesh, it goes to mean only all sizes, not
just it means all sizes. It means,
right. Yeah.
So the Gemara says, "Omale mazutra breder amori l'ravina." Wait a minute, what do you mean? What kind of kavachomer is that? Malak kanoi shein osir l'soichal. The fact is, though, the kanoi is not meant to use the inside. It's not the Tosfos' first explanation.
Oh, sure.
It has an inside, but it's not meant for that. And according to the second explanation, the inside would only exist only if you turned it over. Terma b'klichol shein osir l'soichal. So how can you compare it to a klichol, which is at least meant to contain liquids? So maybe then the kavachomer is not valid. Maybe a klichol would be good. Ella mimenu lamu'uti klichol. So the answer is the word mimenu must be to be memayit that you can't use a klichol. So the question is, yehoki klei shodis nami. Well, then in that case, if we say mimenu, then we should be memayit all kelim outside of the kiyor and say that all klei shodis are also possible. And the answer is harabi rachmana yirchatsu. Yeah, but we just said we have the ribui from the word yirchatsu, so that comes to include them. So the Gemara says umare isa. Well, then what's the logic to include other? To include other klei shoris and leave out klei chol, and the answer is zerto and mashicha kamoihu. The difference is the other klei shoris had to be anointed in order for them to have kedusha. The zer in toin mashicha kamoihu, whereas the klei chol is not, and therefore if we have a ribui and we have a miut, then it's more logical that we're going to say that we're married with the klei shoris and memayit the klei chol. And again, here actually you have the point is, with one of the portion, the Taras HaKodesh brings up that, since again, ein klei shoris mekadesh elo asa roi lahem, it's actually later on in our Masechta, that a klei shoris is mekadesh only what's suitable for that keli, well then you can argue then that in that case, a klei shoris that's not meant for water for kedusha direct lime is no better than a klei chol. So adarabba, then maybe you should say that, maybe it should be osur to use a different klei shoris for it, and if you're going to be married, then it should be a klei chol. And the answer is that nevertheless the logic is that the logic is that the klei shoris does require meshicha, and therefore if we're going to have a ribui in the pasuk, it's going to refer to that. So that's the result. You can be mekadesh in any klei shoris, not in the kanoi though, apparently, because there's a kosur. It does have to be that the klei shoris is meant for holding things inside it, which the kanoi is not.
Allah, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shlokish, Kol Hamashlim L'Mei Mikva Mashlim L'Mei Kiyur. The rule is anything that can be used to complete the 40 saw of a mikvah, then that same kind of liquid can be, whether it's for the four kohenim that we said before, and anything that can complete a mikvah can also complete the full amount of four kohenim that's in the kiyur. So Rashi is, you know, you have in Mishnayos Mikvahos, Mishnayos that are learned for the 11 months in the Yotzeit. Yesh malin is a mikvah v'le poslin. So anything that's malah is a mikvah. Anything that's in the list over there can also be used for the mekiyur. But he says l'revius ainim mashlim. However, it is not mashlim for revius for natilas adai. So the Gemara says, So what do we mean? What is there that would work for the 40 salva mikvah, but does not work for the revius of Natilas Yadayim? Rashi, by the way, explains that we're talking about the revius of Natilas Yadayim. Tosfos just says, Ksas Tema, it's a little surprising why it should refer to that. So rather, Tosfos explains that it means the revius of Midaraisa, and the Gemara is going to mention it later on in the Sugya. Midaraisa, you could dip small kalim in a revius. Like this one, we have Machachin Yisunah Amal Samara, that you need a wave of the mikvah, of the 40 cell of the mikvah to pass over it. That's Midrabbanon. Midaraisa, a needle you could toggle in a revius of water, as long as it otherwise has the dinim of a mikvah, as long as it's Machim, as long as it's Mayim Mufunasim. So therefore, Tosfos says that's what we're talking about over here as far as the revius. So Midaraisa, you need 40 cell to toggle a person, but the toggle of Kaili, one revius would be enough for a small needle. Tosfos says Rashi's explanation is preferable because in Rish Lakish's times already, they don't have the whole concept of toggling in a revius. The Chachamim made a blanket statement, a blanket rule, that all Kalim need 40 cell. Okay, so anyway, so two possibilities, what he means by revius, but he's saying, revius ain't a mashlim, it wouldn't be mashlim to a revius. So the Gemara says, l'mo'otimai, well, what do you mean? As opposed to, so what is there the case that Rish Lakish is saying, it wouldn't help for the revius, but it does work for the mikvah and for the mekir? Iblaim l'mo'oti titan nodri. Do you mean, as opposed to thin mud? Now the Mishnah lists over there in Mikros, Elamalin Vilaposin, and one of the things on the list is Vatita Noroik. Yeah, Noroik, Nodoik. Nodoik would mean Meloshin Dak, Melamalin, very thin. Noroik would mean Meloshin Reik, as in you can easily pour it from one keli to another. Now the Mishnah says over there that you can use Titan Noroik as part of the Malas Amikli. You can use it towards the 40 Sah. Tosfos, by the way, points out in this connection a din that actually is relevant to Hilchos Sukkah. You know, sometimes you have something which is mitzaris to something which is kosher, but you can't make the thing all out of it itself. So you have, for example, air in a sukkah. If you have an empty space in the sack less than 3 shvachim, then we say that this is the sukkah is still kosher. But you can't say that, one of mentions an example, Ava mitzaref ve'en yishenim tachta. But even though it's mitzaref, and even though it doesn't pass all the sukkah, you still couldn't sleep or eat under that exposed area.
So,
and the Gemara gives the example over there.
So mitzaref for that.
Mitzaref that the sukkah as a whole is kosher, but you can't sleep under, eat under that area, yeah. So then the Gemara compares it over there to this titanorek. You can use a saw of titanorek to fill up a mikvah. But you can't make a mikvah out of titanorek, right? So here are...
Maim shuv is a person of
the
culture, right?
Not the culture. Maim shuv not passing. No, so what it is maim shuv, you can't use them to complete the shiur mikvah. If you have a chosid character, then you still can't fill in a character of a maim shuv. What to pass all the mikvah and now make it, you have to drain it in shloshalogit. So if you're going to tell me that he wants to exclude titan nodrik, which you could use to complete a mikveh, but you can't use it towards the revius, the question is, hey, chidomi, well, what's the scenario? If it's so thin, this mud, that a cow would bend down and drink from it, after the revius nami, then it ought to work even towards the revius, because then it's considered complete water. And in fact, the Mishnah in Yadayim tells us, as long as water is drinkable by an animal, then it's usable for Natilas Yadayim. The E.N. Parah Sheikh of a Shaysim Menu, and if it's so thick, this mud, that a cow wouldn't drink from it, after the Mikveh Nami ain't mashing, then it's not going to work to fill up a Mikveh either. So what is the scenario that we're saying it would work for a Mikveh and for the Kier, but not for the Revius? Maybe the Shlokish means, the Ma'uti Yavchushin Adumin. Maybe the Shlokish means, as opposed to Yavchushin Adumim. Rashi describes that Yavchushin are little creatures like mosquitoes, but they don't have wings. So Rashi describes that sometimes, for example, you would have on the outside of a wine barrel, you'll have these little creatures that will come there and lay eggs, and you'll have these little creatures, these little creepy crawly worm type creatures over there or something. The point is they're created min amayim when the Eibishter first created them on the fifth day of Ma'aseh Bereishis. They were created out of water, and in later times also you find them in water. And since they come from eggs, as how modern science understands it, everything comes from something that lived before. But the eggs are invisible, so as far as halacha is concerned, they don't exist. So they can be considered briyasim min amayim. They're created from the water, and such things are kosher to make a mikvah from. Such things are kosher for sheer mikveh.
Even though they're in the water. It's not like you see them then.
No, so that's what I said. We're talking about you have the water, has yavchushin in it, then they would still count towards the 40 saw. And in fact, the Gemara says, even if you have an entire mikveh made out of yavchushin adumim, out of these red little midge-like creatures, it would still be kosher. Anything that was created from the water, then you can tovel in it. For example, you can tovel inside. You have, let's say, a gigantic fish where the eye over there melted or dissolved away, and now you have like a watery like substance over there that now, so now it would be big enough. So as long as if you have 40 saw over there, if the fish was large enough, then now its eye socket and the dissolved eye in there is 40 saw, and you could actually total in it. So how is Rish Lakish saying that for Revius that wouldn't work? These Yavchushin Adumim wouldn't work, but for the Kiyo and the 40 saw it does. What's the logic? It seems that you could use it even for a mikveh. You could tovel an entire mikveh made out of that. So why shouldn't you be able to use it for the revius?
Oh, this is a question.
So what does your shlokish mean? What is the case where the shlokish is saying it will work for the 40 saw of a mikveh and it will work for the four kohenim for the kir, but it won't work for the revius of Natilas Yadayim according to Rashi or the original revius of dipping needles and small kalim like that according to Tosfos? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Lamauti nosan sav notal sav. It comes to exclude the case that we have in Mishnayos Mikvos over there where you put in a saw and then took out a saw. The Tanan, as we learn in the Mishnah, but then mikveh sheyesh b'mem salma falonis, nosan salva notal sa, reza kosher. So you have certain kinds of liquids over there, may peiris, mashkin, etc. That we have in the Mishnah over there, pomim malum, fom shenim malum. Sometimes they can complete the 40 saw of a mikveh, sometimes not. So may peiris, another temen b'shehechmetz, etc. So the Mishnah describes like this, they can't be mala. If you have only 39 saw, you can't pour in a saw of may peiris and have a valid mikveh. On the other hand, if you had a mikveh of 40 and you put in a saw of may peiris and then you drew a saw of liquid out of there where if the liquids mix evenly, we can assume that the soil you took out is mostly water and a little bit may pay us, but lot after, because they don't necessarily mix that evenly that right away. But in any case, then the mikveh is kosher. So in that sense, malin v'loy poslin. So they don't passel it with three lugim because they're not mayim, but it's not malin unless you already had 40 saw before and now you're taking out a saw over there.
It would probably be water, not.
Hypothetically, if it mixed completely evenly, you would have, you now have 41 saw over there, of which 40 is water and one is mayperis. So hypothetically, mathematically, if you were to take out a saw, 40 parts out of 41 would be water and one part out of 41 would be mayperis. The Gemara, by the way, mentions in this connection, in Yevamos that it's only kosher ad rubai, only until you get to the point where the majority of the mikveh is still sure to be mayim. Mathematically, you could calculate it. You would come out in principle. You could do it in principle.
Yeah, but if it wouldn't mix well,
In principle, mathematically. So Akiva Eger actually deals with this in one of his Chuvos, where his son points out to him on the face of it, you could do this as much almost 30 times until it was mathematically each time you have more and more mayperis and less water that you're taking out with each saw. And Akiva Eger explains that mathematically that may be correct, but halacha, you can't assume that. You have to assume every time you're taking out a saw, it's completely it's pure water, and therefore the maximum number of times you can do this is 19 times. And then you'll have left at that point, after having so taken out 19 cells of water, you'll have 21 cells of water, and therefore you're still good. But if you did it a 20th time, then you have a problem because it may not be real good anymore.
So we have to take into account that taking out the cell might be pure water.
Might be pure water, right. There is, by the way, Tosfos mentions over here that we're talking dafka about Mei Peres. If it was Mayim Shuvim, then it would be kosher, even Kolayim Kolay, because Rishin bottled. Tosfos learns, in other words, if instead you have the same kind of... Now, a mikvah 40 saw, once you have 40 saw, it will never become possible with Mayim Shuvim. So therefore,
even if you put it in the gimel,
well, saw is much more than gimel, or saw is much more than gimel logim. So yeah, right. But yeah. So Tosfos learns you would be allowed to. You have a mikvah of 40. So Tosfos is saying you could have a mikvah of 40, and then you put in a saw of shuvim, and then pull out a saw and put in another saw of shuvim, and take whatever. Out, and it would still be kosher because rishin bottle. Mm-hmm. The Ravid notably disagrees with that. The Ravid holds that nothing saw but nothing saw applies to mayim shuvim as well. Mm-hmm. In the back of the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, you have the notes over there from Yaakov Landau, Olav Shalom, describing the mikveh that he built for the Rebbe Rashab, and then all the Babish and Mikvois ever since then are made according to that shitta. So one thing is, you have one reason why Bor Agabit Bor is better, is because this avoids, this way you have less of a problem of Nos and Sub and Not al Sub, because the water doesn't mix that well, water doesn't go upward, at most you're going to have some water is going to go down, but Hayos said it's cold down there, and it's hot on top, and therefore it's less likely for it to mix. Eventually, it still may mix anyway, which is
and
why it's so
important. After a certain time, you
eventually, then you have to drain it out and change the water. But at least like this, you can go much longer without
having to do that. If no sense of, and not also, you could put in how
then you can put in however much you want,
and
it's not a problem.
Never...
Yeah, even the Ravid won't have a problem with that, right? Anyway. So the point is, for now, we're saying if nos and sav and not al sah, so now, detnan, as we learn in the Mishnah, mikveh sheyesh mem samach ubonis, nos and sav and not al sah kosher, ve amar of Yehuda bar Shila, amar of Asi, amar of Yechon, ad roboy. So it means you can only do this until roiv, when it comes to Mei Peres. So the point is, for that would be an example. So now, Rish Lakish says that you can't use these Mei Peres towards the revius for Netilas Yadayim. So if you were to have, for example, you have less than a revius of water, and you add a little bit of Mei Peres to it, you can't use that for Netilas Yadayim. So that's what he means, therefore. So you have something which is not
you
for a
mitzvah.
If you have less than a revius of water, and you add a little Mei Peres to it, and now you have a revius, then that's not the Roiv or revius.
Even if not so and not also... Even in that case, like you have the revius and you put in some, and then you take out some of the revius.
Yeah, that's what Rashi is saying. Yeah, even if you put in roiv revius and then took out a roiv revius, it would be possible. The revius is not enough to be mevato that roiv revius.
In other words, Mei Peres, finished. Mei Peres, the difference is Mei Peres, but okay.
To be however. However, the Gemara says, Amar Papa. However, a Papa says, Im Kodach Verdavias Nak Bilenbay. However, what you could have is, you could have, let's say, the wall, the side of a mikveh, and you drill a hole into the side of it there, so that the water, so you have a mikveh, which is mostly water and a little bit Mei Peres. Again, you haven't gotten to Habruba yet. Now you made a hole in the side that now holds a revius, and now the water of the mikveh goes into there, then that's fine. That bilin ben machtin the tsenodius, then you could use that small area to toivel needles and small forks that are used for spinning gold because it came from a mikveh. Kodach Berevius. He drilled a hole in the side of the mikveh, a mikveh that were. Now, an interesting point over here is the Gemara is saying that the revius has to come from a larger mikveh. So Achronim talk about it's actually the Ravid and various Achronim.
What's
the fact? So in other words, like this, we're saying Midaraisa you could tovel in a revius alone. But that would be Midaraisa, that revius wouldn't have to come from a larger mikveh. However, here the Ravid explains and a number of Achronim explain the logic behind it. Here we're saying Kodach Boy, that you have to start with a large mikveh, therefore we're talking about this mikveh that's partially water and partially Mei Peres. So it's still kosher because not Ruben may pay this, but nevertheless, if you want a toivel and a revius, which would be valid on Daraisa level, then you need to have, it doesn't work the Rabbanon, but at least Daraisa, you want to do it, then it needs to be coming from a larger mikveh, and therefore you need to be kodeach, therefore you need to be drilling into the side, and the water is nimshach to there.
Why does it have to be condemned?
Because that's what we're saying. Because here we have, it's partially Mei Peres, and therefore, if you want to be able to toggle in a revius over there, then it needs to be coming from a larger mikveh. As opposed to, in other words, if you wanted to begin with to toggle a needle and you just gather a revius and make shamim in one place, then that would be good enough. So Papa says, if you have kodach bo revius, if you drill into the side of the mikveh, an area that's going to hold a revius, and now it gets filled up with water from the mikveh, makbilin and machtin mitzenodius, then you would be allowed to tovel needles and small forks.
Even with the rabbonim?
No, we mean midoraisa, hoyol mehcher of the mikveh asya, because after all, it does come from the hechsher of a mikveh. It comes from a mikveh of 40 sa, and even though part of that 40 sa is made peiris, then nevertheless it's still fine, because we said ad rubo, it's still fine. And because we have nosan sa v'notel sa.
The kodach berevis means that, not to drill a hole or just to take out. That's what kodach means.
Well, it means, in other words, to make an area in the side of the mikveh into which a revius will be nimshach. So now, in other words, it's separated from the rest of the mikveh. If it was connected to the mikveh, there's no chiddush. As long as it's connected to shviferes hamnodin, which is the space fingers, then you're good.
The din of Rav Papa would be also, if I'll take a kli, fill up a revius. Not without a kiddiche.
No, of course not. Then it'll be mine shogun. If you pick it up with a keli, it'll be mine shogun.
Oh, mine. Okay. So yeah. So the kiddiche is making that it shouldn't be shogun. That's
right.
That's the chiddush.
That's the
kiddiche.
But now it'll be nimshach over there. But now it'll be separated from the main mikveh.
Right.
It won't be connected.
So also, when we said before about kiddiach,
that was in the kiyah. Right.
So that's type of way. It's like
that's how Rashi had it.
Like coming out of the
coming out like through a straw or something. Yeah, through a hose. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omer of Yumi, Omer of Shlokish, main mikveh kshedim lemei kiyur. Water that's kosher for a mikveh, well, even though it's not mayim chayim, will also be kosher to fill up the kiyur and do kiddush adayim raglayim. So the Gemara says, "Lememri the law, the loy mayim chayim." You know, so you're telling me that the water of the kiyur does not have to be mayim chayim, does not have to be water that came directly from a spring. What we learn in a brisa, it says when it comes to washing the korban oil, when it comes to washing the parts of the korban oil, the pasuk says, and the brisa says, b'mayim v'lo b'yayin, it means dafka with water, you can't wash them with wine, b'mayim v'lo b'mozuk, it has to be dafka with water, not with water, not with pure water, not with water that was mixed with something else. Tosfos, by the way, wonders that how come by the kier it says b'mayim, and you can still use, we just said you can use water that has some made peiris mixed into it, how come over here we're insisting it can't be mozul. And b'mayim means l'rabes shamayim. When it says b'mayim, means they can use any water for kavachomer to make kiyur. So, and the braisa says a kavachomer for the water of the kiyur.
So this b'mayim is talking about what?
This is talking about washing the pieces of the korban olavah. Wash out the kishkes, and you have to wash all.
So there has to be pure water.
It can be shamayim. It doesn't have to be water of a mikveh. It can be even mechunosin, even where the water was gathered in a keli or whatever. But kavachomer to make kiyur. Now, my kavachomer make kiyur, lav de mayim chayim ninu. Luchora, what's the kavachomer? That even though the kiyur has to be filled up with mayim chayim, nevertheless, we're saying that it is that you could use the water of the kiyur to wash the ked of a crying. So then in that case, that would imply that the kiyur is made out of mayim chayim, and therefore that's the kavachomer. If you can use even any water you want, how much more so that you can use water of the kiyur, which is even better for mayim chayim? And the answer is loy, but likdosh to kaddish. No, it just means, in other words, the kiyur is it's holy water. It's a kli sharis. So therefore, the braisa is just saying, if you can use chulin water, how much more so that you can use kaddish water? The Gemara says, why? The kaddishim al, you'll see why. It's the fact that the water is kaddish, meaning something better. On the face of it, it makes it worse. So why should the braisa be saying a kavachomer that it would work? But tonad veshmul. We learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Shmuel, mayim she'em lam she'em levai. When it says water in the Torah, means not when it has a secondary name. Rashi says, I don't know where Tanad Shmuel is referring to. What's the context in which this braisa is saying that water means zafka she'em lam she'em levai? Tosfos brings that it's from the same thing that we were just talking about, washing the pieces of the korban olah. That you would think, once we say mayim, maybe it could even include. Sometimes fruit juices of certain kinds are called mayim as well. May peiris, for example, may tosim. But it says mayim, so no, it means ein lam shem levai, as opposed to, for example, may tosim, berry juice, which has a shem levai. So you can't use that for washing the pieces of the oil. Anyway, the point is that the braisa is saying she'en lam shem levai. It has to be that they don't have a secondary name. Yotu may kiyur she'esh lam shem levai. As opposed to the water of the kiyur, which does have a secondary name, because we don't just call it water, we call it water of the kiyur. So therefore, why should we say that the water of the kir is kosher for washing the ket of a kraim? Based on Tanit Veshmul, it should be possible, precisely because it's mayim kedoshim or mei kir. Tosfos points out, by the way, something that the Gemara mentions in some other places. Actually, the Gemara mentions it in Sukkah, actually, and then in some other places, that you have like this. Sometimes you have, for example, the Gemara talked about Ezer. So you have, for example, there's only one kind of Ezer that's kosher for the various things Ezer needs to be used for, the Parah Adruma, and then the Metzora, and so forth. The rule is, the Gemara says, the Gemara says over there, that various other kinds of Ezer, the Ezer Midvori, Ezer Kuchli, Ezer Yeroini, or whatever apostle, because they have Shem Levi, they have a secondary name.
Adas or Adasim Arov is.
So Adasim, so.
It's also.
No, so I'm not. There, no, so there you have, for example, Tzachtifa is possible. That's because it's not an Arov of a
different speech. No, that's over there. It's like there.
The Gemara does mention, one of the places the Gemara mentions it in Sukkah, it mentions it about the Ezev. I don't recall that it mentions it about the Dalam Minim. It could be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is, Tosfos says, the rule the Gemara says over there is, did it have a different name before Matan Torah? So then if the Torah is telling you, for example, Ezev, these other kinds were known as Ezev something even before Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. So now when the Torah tells you Ezev, it means Ezev without a Shem Levi. Well, then you could say the same thing you could say over here by the water. There was a called Mei Kiyo before the Torah was given. Torah said, yeah, Shas Matan Torah, it was called already Mei Kiyo. So Adam Schiff says, in other words, the point is it doesn't have to be that it was called that before Matan Torah. As long as it gained that name at the time of Matan Torah, and at Matan Torah, they were given the mitzvahs of, including the mitzvahs, including 613 mitzvahs, including that there has to be a here, and that the water of it is going to be called make here, so therefore that's enough for it to be considered that has a shame of eye, and therefore that you can't use it. So you have to say, so you can't say that you can use make here for washing the pieces of the oila. Ela lav diruuyin the make here. So it must be that the brice. So it must mean when we said before that when you you can use any kind of water for washing the ket of a prayim. And we said b'mayim, which we learned from that various other kinds of water. It means, in other words, that you can't use from the kir itself, but it means ruuyin the make here. That water that would be suitable for the kir. Doesn't that show the water that's used for the kir is mayim chayim, that comes from a spring? And therefore, so now the braisa would be saying, you can use even that. That's not considered that it has a shem levi. And therefore, but the kir itself, you say, therefore, you could use b'mayim v'loy b'yayin, b'mayim v'loy b'mozik, b'mayim l'rabes shamayim. But you can't use the kir because that's called mesim. And the answer is, the Gemara says, tanoyim. You know what? It's machlokas tanoyim. The Omer of Yechanan, make here, because Rav Yechanan says, what happens as far as using the water of the kir, or what happens, where is the water from the kir come from? Rabbi Shmuel and Mei Mayim Ein. Rabbi Shmuel says that it comes from a spring, in which case it's Mayim Chaim. So in other words, according to him, you can't use water from a mikveh to fill up the kir. The Chum says it's taken from any kind of water, including the water of a mikveh. So then Resh Lakish is saying according to that. We talked about a few days ago, by the way, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, they had the Yam Shel Shloima, which they would use to refill the kir from. The Gemara explains that the Yam Shel Shloima actually was able to serve as a mikveh, even though it was a keli on the face of it. How do you tell? In a keli, the pasuk says that it was placed on top of Oymid al Shnei Masa Boker. It stood on top of 12 statues of oxen. And the Gemara explains the legs of those oxen were hollow, so the water came from someplace higher than the Beis Hamikdash, came from Ein Etam, so therefore water pressure caused that now it would go up through the legs and through the bodies of the Shnei Masa Bakar and go into holes at the bottom of the Yam Shel Shloima, and that's how it would be filled up. So now it's a kosher mikvah because it's attached to, it's all connected without using any pumps
or anything
like that.
The higher than the...
The Gemara explains elsewhere that Ein Etam was 23 and a half amas higher than the floor of the Azar.
Has to do with the mikvah
of the Kohen Gadol. Has to do with how they filled the mikvah of the Kohen Gadol on top of Lishkas HaParva, but in the same way, the Gemara says they could also use that to fill the Yam Shel Shloima. So it was, in fact, a kosher mikvah. The Pasuk actually says in Divrei Yomim, when it describes the Yam Shel Shloima, it says that it was lakonim l'rochatzabai, it was taka for the kohenim to bathe as in to toivel in. So it actually served as a kosher mikveh, and therefore they could also, so therefore it's meimayin, it comes ultimately from Ein Etam, and therefore even according to Rabbi Shmuel, they could use that to fill the kir.
So this whole thing that talking about kolamashin meimikveh, mashin meikir, is only
according to Lakach Chachamim. Only Lakach Chachamim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that wouldn't be good enough. You need meimayin, yeah. One of the Mephoshim points out, I mean, so why doesn't Rish Lakish just say Halacha Chachamim? And the answer is because after all, you don't really have, there's no explicit Mishnah or Braisa that says this. Rabbi Yochanan had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that there is this Machloek, this Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. So therefore, Rish Lakish can't just say Halacha Chachamim. Here we have the Omer of Yochanan, Mekir, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, so therefore Rish Lakish can't just say Halacha Chachamim. He has to specify and say, and spell it out that Kolam Ashlam, Meme Mikler, etc. So that completes the discussion about Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. The next thing in the Mishnah had been oral, that a Kohen who's oral is possible to do the Avodah. Now Rashi explained on the Mishnah that an oral doesn't mean that he deliberately doesn't want to have a bris milah. It means meisuacha machmas milah, and therefore medically he can't have a bris milah. Tosfos here and in other places explains that actually it's not, it could be mumur la'arelus. Now the Gemara is going to call it libur l'shamayim, that he is focused on Hashem. So how can we call him that if mumur la'arelus, if he deliberately doesn't want to have a bris milah? The reason is, Tosfos says, because you can say he doesn't want to have a bris milah because he's afraid of the pain. So that doesn't make him, nevertheless, so in other words, it comes out, according to Tosfos, maybe if he was Mesuach Machas Milah, maybe he would be cautious. Maybe it wouldn't be Lahachas at all. It would be medically counterindicated. Then maybe according to Tosfos, he would have to be cautious to do the Avodah. Maybe not. But the point is that when we say oral in these kinds of contexts, Tosfos says, means not where he can't, but where he doesn't want to because he's afraid of the pain. So, Manolon, where do we know that he passes the Avodah? Omer of Chista, so Rav Chista says, we had this a few days ago, Dovah Zemi Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Lelamanu. We can't actually learn it from, there's no posuk in the Torah of Moshe that tells us that. Midivre Yecheskel Ben Buzi Lamanu, we learn it from posuk in Yecheskel. Which, as the Gemara had explained the other day, doesn't mean Yecheskel can't tell us new halachas in Novi Lashori Lachadish Dovah after. It means it was halacha Moshe Misinai, and then Yecheskel wrote it, was told to write it down on the posuk. Where he says, Kol ben necher, any stranger, erel lev the erel boser, whether he has the orla of the heart, meaning that he worships of it, meaning that he worships of it as order, or acts in other ways that make him, so to speak, foreign to Hashem, the erel boser, or where he has orla of his flesh.
That's nikud erel, not
erel lev. Erel lev the erel boser, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Erel means oral of. Oh, the word oral by itself is
not aral society.
No, here in the passage it's erel. Yeah. So Ero Lev, Ero Basar, Lo Yovei HaMikdash, he should not come to my Mikdash, L'Shor Seini, it doesn't actually say L'Shor Seini in the Pasuk. But anyway, so the point is, so we see that Kohen Oral is also to do the Avodah. Rashi, by the way, in various places explained that Ero Lev means that he worships Avod Ezar, that Ben Necher, the Gemara is going to call it soon, Shein Snak Remais of Lo'ov Shem HaShemayim, so in particular it means that he worships Avod Ezar. Actually, Rashi, a few dafim ago, says V'chal, it means a Rosh. So according to Rashi, it might not just be if he worships Avodah Zarah, it might be if he's over on any Avodah Lachas. Other Rishonim say it means that the one who worships Avodah Zarah. This is Negev, by the way, as far as Birkas Koyanim, because can a Koyan who worships Avodah Zarah can't do Birkas Koyanim? What about if he does other Avodahs? So in Shulchan Aruch, the passage is like the opinion that in general, unless a Koyan is Nosin Noshim Avodah, or worships Avodah Zarah, or one or two other things, basically he can do Birkas Koyanim.
So that's limited.
So it's limited only to certain things. So the
Koyan
Shana Gyeris. Shana Gyeris is an example where he can't until he promises that he's going to be Madar Anof Mahariya. The idea is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you shouldn't say, well, this fellow is a Rosha, what good is his bracha going to do? The fact is, not his own bracha. It comes from the Eivishter, right, through him, and then, yeah. Umanolam the Machli Avoida. Okay, so how do we know that the Koyan Oral is actually Machalal Avoida if he does it? And for that matter, Ben Necher. How do we know that the Machalal Avoida? So dichtiv, because the pasuk continues over there. Ba'aviyachem es bnei necher, arlei lev ve'arlei boser. You're bringing in foreigners, strangers, who have an orla of the heart to worship Avodah Zarah or did whatever avodas, and who have an orla of the flesh, lias v'mikdashi, to be in my mikdash, l'chalal es desi, to desecrate my house. So we see that they actually desecrate the avodah and cause it to be pasuk. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, so let's talk more about that pasuk. Ben Necher, Yochel Ben Necher Mamash, you would think the pasuk means literally a goy, is not allowed to do the Avodah. Now, it's perfectly true, but it means more than that. Talmud Lema, Era Lev. Therefore, the pasuk says, where he has an uncircumcised heart. So in other words, he's a Yid, he's a Koyan, but he's a Rosha. He worships Avodah Zarah or does whatever Avodah. So in Cain, Matam Alamed Ben Nefer. So why does the Pasuk use the word Ben Nefer? That means she nisnakru mice of La'ov Shashmain. He's acting in a way that's foreign to his father in heaven. He acts like a goy, basically.
So he's describing the person.
So describing the person, right. So the Ainli Ela Erolev, now you would only know that means an Erolev, somebody who is a Rosh, or worships of a Dezara, or does whatever. Erol Basar Minayin, how do we know where he's only Erol Basar, and especially according to Rashi, that he partially can't medically, because Meisu Echav Machas Mila. So how do we know that he's also Pasul? So Tamad Laimu, the Erol Basar, therefore the Pasul also says Erol of the flesh.
Is this brought to Rashi somewhere in the Chumash?
I don't remember if it's brought in Rashi on Chumash.
Maybe it's called Ben Necho Leichel.
Ben Necho, yeah, we have that Korban Pesach called Ben Necho. Rashi just says it with a snack of Mice of Love. Rashi uses the same motion over there about the Korban Pesach, yeah. So the Gemara says it's Tzrichi. Now we need both of them to be said in the Pasuk. So if you only had the one who has an Orla of the flesh, you would say, you know what, I understand why he's possible to do the Avodah. Mishum Demois, because after all, the Orla is something Miusik. Because as the Gemara, as the Mishnah, has the expression in the Dorim, Mo'usik, your Orla, and the Orla is a repulsive thing, Shinis Ganu Ba Goyim, you see, that's used as an epithet against the Goyim, that they're called Kikola Goyim Arelim. So the oral fine, you would say, is music. Aval erolev de loimos. But if he's erolev, he's 40, there's nothing visible on him that's most. So emoloi, maybe he's not possible. But iashmen and erolev. On the other hand, if we were told only the erolev, you would say, mishum de'en libel shemayim. You know why? Because he's worshiping Abba Dezara, or doing whatever. His heart is not focused on Hashem. Aval or erobosser, the libel shemayim, but where he's only erobosser, and he does mean for Hashem. According to Rashi, he would like to have a bris milah, but medically he can't. And according to Tosfos, he would have a bris milah if he wasn't concerned about the pain. But he's for liberal shemaim, emaloi, maybe he shouldn't be possible. Tzrichi, and therefore the pasuk needs to say both of them, and both of them are equally possible, and both of them are mechalal, and both of them are mechalal the avodah if they do it. In fact, actually, Reb Moshe points out in one of his Trubas, really, there's a certain commonality between them. Both the Erolev and the Erobosser are being like a goy. So therefore, the Pasuk can put them together, and therefore we can actually learn the dinim of one from the other. But that's why the Gemara is asking, it could have said one, and we could have learned the other, and the answer is each one does have a chiddush over the other.
What do we learn one from another?
So for one thing, that we're saying that one of the, that both of them are mechalal avodah. So actually, we don't need Pasuk.
That says right there.
We learned, for example, as far as truma, for example, a Kohen Oro can eat truma, and neither can a Kohen Ben Necher. So the Gemara says the next thing was Tomei Apostle. The next thing is a Kohen who does the Avodah when he's Tomei Apostle. So now we have to figure out. So now earlier in the Perek we talked about a Tavul Yom, we talked about Mechusa Kipporim. Here we're talking about his outright Tomei. But Omru Zikne Dorim, however, the Chachamim of the south of Eretz Yisrael said it depends. This that was saying that his Avodah is possible.
This is the name of Rabbi Shlomo of Dorim.
Maybe Lav Davka. And here we have, we're going to say that Rish Lakish yelled at them, so we're talking about Chacham of the later generation. Anyway, Omni Zikne Dorim, Lo Shano Ela Tmei Sheret. That would only apply if the Koyan, now first of all, we're talking about Korbanus Yochid, because a Korban Sibur, after all, can be brought for Tumah, as we know. So the Zikne Dorim hold that only when he's Tomei with a Sheret would it be a, and would it be a problem because you never have when it comes to a korban sibur, the heter is when they're tomei mess. So therefore, so they say, I will tomei mess, but if the korban is tomei mess, if he was over and did the avodah with a korban yochid, since it is acceptable with tzibur, and Rashi says even lachatchila, because you have the whole concept tumuchuya b'tzibur, tumuhutra b'tzibur. Here we're following the possibility that tumuhutra b'tzibur. So then meratza nami b'yochid. So then b'diavad it also works by a korban of a yochid because the tzitz at least will be meratza for it. But the tzitz of the kohen gadol, the pasuk says v'nasa all of us avoyna kodshim, and the Gemara explains in a number of places when you have something of tumah involved with kodshim, a classic example being if the blood of the chalif became tomei, and nevertheless they still sprinkled it or offered it on a mizbeach, then it's still kosher b'diavad because the tzitz is meratza for it.
If Gans Klal Yisrael beats Mei Sheretz,
Rashi explains. We only find what kind of case we find with the tzibur is able to is by tmei mes, because we find by the pesach, by the story of the pesach sheni, ish ki yia tomer lenefesh, and from that we learn only individuals on nidchat the pesach sheni and not the tzibur. Mm-hmm. But we only have that when it comes to tumas mes. We don't have that when it comes to other kinds of tumas.
But it's a longer period.
Not just a longer period. Fakir, to Tom and Ness is Tom for 7 days.
That's what I'm saying. It's a longer period. You need 7 days in order to become tired. And then...
So then he needs to sprinkle the pot of water eventually on the seventh day. You also need to
find a situation where a Rav Kalisrael or a Tom.
So I'll tell you, you do actually have like this. One point is that's going to come up in this Sylvia, but you want to discuss it in Pesachim like this. So if a person is Tomei Mess, then obviously he can't bring the Korban Pesach for him. What happens if he's Tomei Sheretz? He's only going to be Tomei today. He'll Toigel, he'll have a head of Shemesh. By the time it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, he's going to be Tohor. Can you bring the Korban Pesach on his behalf? It's a Machlokas in Pesachim.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gemara.
When is it Tomei? What day?
By day, he becomes Tomei. We're talking about. He became Tomei with a Sheretz.
Somebody else will bring it on his behalf, and by that evening,
he'll be fine because he'll have to feel like
he's going to be a Monu.
So that's the question: can he be a Monu? Right. So can he be a Monu? So it's a machlokas actually in Pesachim. In addition, Rashi also points out that you also have the. You can also ask, what about a person who was tomei mes, but the seventh day comes out on erev Pesach. So you're going to have the same thing on the face of it. Once he's sprinkled the pot of water, he's exactly like a tomei sheretz in that sense, because all he needs is to be learned ahead of Shemesh. Mind you, the Rambam actually holds completely differently. The Rambam holds that with a tmei mes, it's gzeiras hakosav, even if the seventh day is on erev Pesach, he still cannot eat from the korban Pesach. He's going to be tohor that night. Doesn't matter. He learns gzeiras hakosav specifically by a tmei mes that it doesn't work. But whereas by a tmei sheretz it would work.
And you say it's a machlokes.
So well, whether a tmei sheretz works or not is a machlokes. The halacha is it does work. But by its main mess, so Rashi holds based on the Gemara and Pesachim, that's exactly the same. The Rambam holds differently, yeah. So they're saying Tmei Mes, Metoch Shemeratza B'Tzibur, since it would work by a Korban Tzibur, even though he's Tomei Mes, Meratza Nami B'Yochid, then B'Diyah, that it'll also be Meratza, even if he did the Avodah of a Korban of a Yochid. So that question is, Yahweh Tmei Sheretz Nami, Laisi B'Kavachoymer with Tmei Mes. Well, then why don't we say that it should work by Tmei Sheretz as well, and say by a Kavachoymer that it should work, and that the Tzitz should be Meratza, and make a Kavachoymer. Ma Tmei Mes, Shaton Azor, Shlishu, Shvi, Meratza, but Tmei Mes still has to be sprinkled on the third and the seventh day as a whole long procedure, and yet the Tzitz is Meratza, Tmei Sheretz, Sheino Azor, Azor, Gimel, Shvi, Eni Din, Shemeratza. So why are the Ziknei Dorim saying that if the Kohen is Tmei Sheretz, then it's Taka not going to work, and the Avodah is going to be Mefulal? And the answer is Kasavri Ziknei Dorim Mechaprin Kim Miskaprin, because the Ziknei Dorim hold that the ones who are going to bring the Kapara, which is the Koyanim, have to be like the Miskaprin, has to be like the owner, because there's a hekish between one and the other. When the, like Rashi explains, we have when we're saying Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur is, because the Pasuk says, the Yasu B'nei Yisrael is a Pasach B'moyadoy, and from the word B'moyadoy is where we learn that the Korban Pesach can be brought B'Tzibur, and from that we also learn that if the Korban are Tomei, then it's also the same thing. Well then, so then the comparison is, Ma Miskaprin Tmei Meis En Tmei Sheretz Loi, just like by the Miskaprin it works only if he's Tomei, only if he's Tomei Mes, but not if he's Tomei Sheretz. Here we're following the opinion in Pesachim that a Tmei Sheretz cannot have the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf. Af Mechaprin Tmei Meis En Tmei Sheretz Loi. So the same way the Ziknei Dorim hold would be the same thing as far as the Tmei Sheretz. Well, the question is, my kasavri. Well, Taka, what do they hold in that regard? E kasavri in shirchin v'tzlokin al tmei sheretz. If they hold, Taka, that you cannot bring one in paper.
Why can't you make the kavachimer that the mischaprin should also be? Why can't you make the same kavachimer that you should tumah utra b'tzibur should also be?
Because we only have it in connection with the pasuk is saying that only as far as tumas mes.
Yeah, but let's take a kavachimer. if a Tumas, which is a very...
Well, that's the Gemara isn't asking now. Taka, why can't you learn about a Kal V'Chomer? That's the question. So that's the question. Where were we?
My
Kasabri. B Kasabri in Shirkin with Uzokin al Tmei Sheretz. If they hold Taka that you cannot bring the Korban Pesach for Tmei Sheretz, Amaylo Avri Tzibur B'Toma, then why shouldn't the Tzibur be able to do with their mostly Tomei with the Sheretz? Hakol Shubi Yochid Nidcha with Tzibur Avri B'Toma. The rule is any time a Yochid is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, then the Tzibur, if they're in the same situation, instead brings it B'Toma. So obviously it must be they hold that in fact you could bring the Korban Pesach for Tmei Sheretz. So therefore, because that evening he'll be good. So therefore, the Tzibur, we don't say this, so we shouldn't allow the Tzibur should go in to the Azara while they're Tomei. Instead, what they should do is they should send the Korban into the Azara. The Koyanim, who are Tohar, will deal with it, and then the Tmei Sheretz will eat it that evening, even though they're Tzibur. Because, in other words, the idea is, it actually explains, when do we say that Tumah Hutra with Tzibur is when, if we don't do that, it's going to be impossible that we can come Pesach at all. But here it's not impossible. They can't go into the Azara. Fine, they can always send the animals in, and the Koyanim will deal with it from there.
I didn't get the answer. So...
The answer is that if
the answer is like this, if
they taka held that you can't bring the Korban Pesach for Tmei Sheretz, then that would mean that if the Tzibur was Tmei Sheretz and you were to tell them you can't bring the Korban Pesach, it would mean that Tzibur is being pushed off the Pesach Sheni. And you can't do that. Ain't Tzibur Nidchim the Pesach Sheni. So therefore that, and then you could taka say by a Kal V'Chomer that if it works by Tumah Nes, then it should work by Tmei Sheretz as well. But the answer is that no, they're saying you could bring the Korban Pesach for Tmei Sheretz. Therefore, the Tzibur is not going to be Nidcha. If the Tzibur is mostly Tomer with a Sheretz, that doesn't prevent them from bringing Pesach Rishon. It just means they're going to have to send the animals in on their own, and the Kohenim will take care of it from there. But on the other hand, with Tumas Nes...
Oh, ancient.
Yeah, so he holds Shreshtim B'Sokhan and Tzmei Sheretz. Therefore, we're not going to make that kind of Kal V'Chomer. We're going to say, whenever saying that the Tzibur can't bring it with Tumah would prevent them from bringing the Korban altogether, then fine, then we give them a break because of the Tzibur, and we allow it.
For
the Tumas Nes, therefore, we're going to allow it. But for the Tumas Sheretz, no.
Not even Shech for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shech for him, therefore...
So that's what the Zikne Dorim hold then. So now again, when it comes to the Koyan, who is a Yochid, when he's a Tmei Sheretz, then by the same token, the same way as the Tzibur is not going to be allowed to bring a Korban Pesach, but for Tmei Sheretz. And even because we're going to say that even if most of the Tzibur is Tomei with a Sheretz, they still can't go into the Azara and bring the Korban Pesach.
But it can
be shechted for them so that they'll be able to eat it that evening. By the same token, that if the individual Kohen was Tomei with a Sheretz and he does the Avodah, it will be possible. But the Zikne Dorim are saying, on the other hand, when it comes to Tumas Nes, given that it would be allowed for it to be done by the Korban Pesach and by other Korbanos Tzibur, then even by Korban Yochid, B'dieved, we're not going to prevent it, and we're going to allow it to be good, and we're going to allow that the Tzitz will allow it to be good. But then the Gemara continues. Oma Ula, Chokolahu Rishlokish Lidremoi. Rishlokish yelled loudly at the Chachamim of the Dorim and said, "How is it possible? V'chi'ezek Koyach Meruba." After all, whose koyach is stronger? Koyach HaMechaprin, or koyach Mechaprin, or koyach Miskaprin? The koyach of the ones who do the kapara, the koyanim, or the Miskaprin, the owners of the korban. Heavy omer, koyach Miskaprin. The Miskaprin have a stronger position in the sense that, for example, again, you have a person as Tomei Sheretz, not just as far as the korban pace, other korbanis as well. He could send his korban, and they could bring it. So we see that the Miskaprin and the Bailin have a stronger position. Even though they're Tomei Sheretz, they're able to send their Korban and it would roar on their behalf. So they have an even stronger position than the Koyanim, where the Koyanim, if they're Tomei Sheretz, are not allowed to do the Avoda. Well then, Rish Lakish argues, well then, we should make a Kal V'Chomer, Mabach, where the owner became Tomei with a Sheretz and they can still send their Korbanos. And yet, if the Koyan instead became Tomei with a Sheretz, it wouldn't work, as you yourselves are saying. Well, then how much more so if the owner was Tomei Mes, where you can't even send the Korban to be brought on his behalf? He just has to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Kohen Chinitma Mames in a Din Shein Miratza, so how much more so than if a Kohen himself is Tomei Mess, how much more so it should not work. So what are you telling me? It works because it works for them by the Kohen Sibur. And the answer is, for Sabri Zikmedorim, Tomei Mess Nami Meshavach Kohen Oysev. In fact, they hold that the Tomei Mess could also send his Kohen, and it will be, if he sent his Pesach to the Azara, and they shechted it, and they sprinkled the blood on it, he would be potter from making Pesach Sheni. Aye, he won't be from it. Rashi says they hold Achilas Pesachim Enim Akemis. The fact that he can't
then
eat
it won't be Tzibur Nitzchad, because he could always have the Kehamim do the...
Ah, so that's the Gemara I was going to ask. But Ksiv Ish Ish Liyah Tomei V'Asa Pesach V'Chodesh Hasheni. Remember, we're saying that if he's Tomei, then he has to bring the Pesach in the set in ear Pesach Sheni. So we see that he has to be pushed off, and we can't say that the Yevid they shefted for him for his good. And the answer is the mitzvah. Fine, it means the mitzvah is that he should be doing Pesach Sheni because that way he'll be able to eat it. But Yevid they brought it for him Pesach Rishon, and then the Ziknei Jorim are going to hold it's fine.
But a second, what does the mitzvah mean? The mitzvah of what?
The mitzvah means that it's a mitzvah that Tomei Mess, Achila, should have as Korban Pesach, delayed the Pesach Sheni so that he'll be able to eat it. But if they shechted it on his behalf, then the fact that he's not going to be able to eat it is not going to matter.
Would there be a tzibur nitzchad?
Well, so then...
Only if the Kehanim was...
So we're saying that tzibur would never... The tzibur is never nitzchad. We're saying if they... We were saying, according to the Ziknei Dorim at this point, we're saying, they're not going to be nitzchad to Pesach Sheni at all, because by them to begin with, we bring Pesach Rishon. But the Yochid was saying...
To begin with, they can do it
because they're all Tomei, then they're...
There's no Tchuyah or Hutra, because... They could do it following the law.
Right, because they're saying that even by a yochid it would work. Right. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Voxiv ish lefi ochloi. Again, the pasuk says that each person has to be appointed to what he eats, implying that in tochoy, and then the pasuk says tochoysu, that you shech, which implies that at the time of the shita, he has to be kosher to eat. And the answer is again, mitzvah. They would again say it's only the mitzvah. It's not required. If they shechted it for them when they're tomei, then b'dievet it would be kosher. So the Gemara will continue. With this discussion. How can the Ziknei Dorim say that a person would be able to bring the Korban Pesach, would have the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf when he's Tomei? On Thursday, the Gemara is going to point out other psukim that imply that he has to be able to eat it. So the Gemara will continue with that discussion, and then we'll continue with this discussion of what kinds of tumma, are there any kinds of tumma that if a Korban is Tomei, he will be able to do the avodah. So the Shlokish against the Ziknei Dorim. So the Gemara is going to continue that discussion. We'll learn it on the next Daf, Be'ez Hashem.